Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. It's time to puck around and find out, because the Stars are beginning the playoffs tonight against Vegas, theoretically at 8:30, realistically 8:45, 8:50, we think.
I'm going to leave the house at 7:30.
Okay.
Oh man,
that gives me plenty of time.
Okay. You live close, yeah. 7:30 for you, Kevin. Okay. That's like, yeah,
I'm not gonna make.
That's a journey.
It takes
right
me
there.
About 10 minutes from my house to park.
Oh, okay, great. That's
so nice. It's a little bit of a long walk. I park way past like the Hooters and, what's that other place?
Dick's.
Joe's Dick's. Yeah.
Last resort, Kevin.
It's a walk. I park about. Takes me 10 minutes. To walk from where I park.
Okay.
And it's nice weather, so it's not like you're going to have swamp butt or anything like that when you get there. So that's a good thing. That's positive.
That's nice.
I did want to add this to the conversation, Kevin, because I think this is fantastic stuff. And always the inner workings, the dynamics of couples that have different allegiances, I've always wondered how this goes. And Blake, or at Mr. Carter B on Twitter, messaged us this morning and said, I may be getting a divorce after round one of the Stars playoffs.
Oh, no.
Wife is a Knights fan, born and raised in Vegas. She's getting full heel me this series. I had to hear it's your Golden Knights one too many times. It's time. And then he sent us a screenshot. Him. It's game day, bum. That's what he said to his wife.
Oh,
and she just replied, game day. And he said, you're the enemy. Let's go, Stars. And she said, Blake, they suck. We hold the championship. Make sure to eat that chicken and pasta tonight. And he said, make sure to hold your fat L when those bum Knights lose. It's happening. I'm letting you know all about it. And this is my favorite thing. I'm keeping track of how things go throughout their marriage from now on.
That is so contentious. My wife does not have strong sports opinions.
To get involved. Yeah. My wife she's like, oh, who's playing? Is it the playoffs yet? That's how it always is. If I'm watching a basketball game, regular season, middle of the year, she's like, is it playoffs yet?
Our country music star Casey Donahue will be cheering on the Stars tonight.
Talk about, dude.
Not no Vegas Knights.
Last night, my wife was going to bed and she was in the other room, and I heard them singing the national anthem, and I said, are you watching the beginning of a sporting event? She goes, I think it's hockey. And then they started singing O Canada, and I was like, okay, are you watching Vancouver? And then I started singing some of the lyrics, and she goes, why do you know the lyrics to O Canada?
O Canada.
That's a fair question.
The queen also our queen.
Okay, so help me out here.
Stand on guard.
Vegas stunk in the regular season for the first time in a long time. For the first time ever, right?
Particularly in the second half, because early in the season, they looked outstanding.
I know that I'm getting maybe to y'all's prediction quicker than maybe you want to, but I had Mavs in six. I know I didn't say that Friday, but obviously when they lost by 300 points, I'm still taking the Mavs in six. So where are you guys at on the Stars? Because it feels like when you're the one seed versus the team that barely made the playoffs, it feels like you should win in five.
Okay, I have them in five. Kevin has them in six.
But if you would have gotten the Kings, I think you could have swept.
I had the Mavs Gretzky in six and the Stars in five last week. And I'm still in this mindset that the Stars are out to punish right now. And I know the Knights kind of got all the pieces back together. But as we talked with Brian Ray the other day, it takes some time whenever you get all your pieces back together to get that chemistry back a little bit. And I think they're going to struggle with that because the Stars are going to force it. So that's why I just have the Stars in a completely different mindset than they were last year.
I have Stars in seven, and I hope I'm wrong.
Is the concern the physicality that Vegas can bring to the table?
And I'm probably really wrong on this because I think people have told me that follow hockey way more than I do that this isn't the same Knights team. They don't have really the same roster. Fair. But I just saw them take us apart last year in the playoffs, and I just think the Stars are going to prevail. They're going to get to the second round. I think they have a great chance to play our Rangers in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right.
It's with an S, right?
Yes.
It's
the Stanley Cup Final that you leave the S off of.
Good. I wanted to make sure I got it wrong. So I'm just nervous. I'm nervous about these Golden Knights figure out ways to win series, and maybe they don't have the same people, and maybe they don't have the same belief, and maybe they're tired of winning. But I'm nervous about the Golden Knights.
All right. Maybe this will make you feel better. Maybe it won't. How many Dallas Stars players do you think are in the top 50 in the NHL in the playoffs? So,
how many people are on the Stars roster?
25.
Ooh, look at that.
Right, 25.
Because I know it used to be the same as baseball, right? But now baseball has one more.
It's not 25.
Oh, dang it.
So it's the top 50, and there's 16 teams in the playoffs. So
but there are 25 guys on the team.
Yes.
Okay. No, he's saying all 25 Stars aren't in the top 50.
Correct, especially because you have scratches in
24.
RoboCop's on there.
Okay. But how many? Let me try this again. Thought we'd made this clear. Maybe not. Chris, if you have any notes for where I'm messing this up, let me know.
95.
There are 50, the top 50 players in the postseason. How many of them are Dallas Stars? Before we get into naming them, how many Dallas Stars are on the list?
You said six. It's not 24, so 23.
Way too many. Six? Can you give me a number closer to six?
22.
You know what? You've got me there. That is
number
closer
four.
To six
is on there.
I'll say seven.
Four.
Oh, I just was four. Saying. I was just saying like number four.
So they don't even have Ottinger on there, huh?
No,
they do.
Oh. What about the douche? 95. Duchesne.
He's in the honorable mention category.
That's okay. I like it. You know what? Underrate him.
Robo.
Okay.
Ottinger.
Okay. Are you taking notes or are these official
number
guesses?
Those are good guesses.
You said RoboCop and you didn't say yes or no.
Jason Robertson is number 24 on the list.
All right.
Jake Ottinger, number 37 on
Pavelski.
The list.
Heiskanen.
Pavelski's not on the list.
Number four, our defensive.
Heiskanen.
Our defensive guru.
Joe Pavelski, by the way, also honorable mention. Miro is the highest rated star at 16.
16?
That seems low.
It does, doesn't it?
So they had the second best record in all of hockeying?
Yep.
And they only have the 16th best player?
By the way, they put Connor McDavid fourth on this list. So, like,
whoa, who's... can you help me out here?
Austin Matthews with the Maple Leafs. Look, he scored 69 goals
McKinnon,
this year.
McKinnon, is he top five?
Nathan McKinnon is third behind Cal Makar.
Okay.
Who is also on Colorado. So, look, Colorado's got two of the top three players.
And you know what? Didn't help out the Mavs last night.
Good point.
All right, so here's what I can't decide then. It's either they gave some love to Jamie Benn.
No.
Or they said that this Wyatt Johnston kid is electric.
What about Stanky?
I want to remind you of a conversation that we had last week. Who sometimes gets forgotten that definitely should not be forgotten?
Yeah, okay.
Iglesias, the closer for the Braves. I remember this conversation.
In the conversation of the Stars, Mike, it's Roope Hintz, number 31 on the list.
He's number 24 on your team.
and in your heart.
But I really don't want to make people's brains explode when I tell them that Robertson is 24 on the list, and then it's going to be a whole thing.
Let's revisit this. Miro is number 16.
Correct.
Number 4 in your heart. Who's the next one, Kevin?
Robertson at 24.
Robertson at 24.
And Hintz is 31.
And then Ottinger
is 37. Now, to put this in perspective, if this makes you feel any better, Las Vegas does not have a player higher than 28. Noah Hanifin, the defenseman.
What number? I'm being honest, not trying to goof off, because I need to know numbers for tonight. What
number? He's number 15.
Number 15 on his jersey.
On his jersey,
okay,
correct.
Thank you.
So he is the highest rated player for Vegas. So Vegas also has 4 on the list, but their numbers 28, 35, 40, and 50 on the list.
Dang it!
And so,
why didn't they play worse and give us the Kings as nobody?
That was freaking Vegas's fault for screwing that up on the last night. The Kings messed that up too. But my point is, they both have 4, but all of the Stars players, if you go like line by line, are better. You have home ice advantage. You have the better record. You have the more prolific goal scores in terms of, I guess, you have the more well-rounded goal scores. There are so many things that are in Stars' advantage right here, but I'm still going to say 6. If it was the Kings, who you'd smoked in the regular season,
4.
I think I might have predicted a sweep. I'm not feeling sweep here.
So are we worried at all tonight because the Stars didn't play their best hockey at home? They played their best hockey on the road?
I'm not.
Did that change late in the year?
It kind of equalized. If that, you know.
And I feel like you can kind of get that back in playoffs. I think that can kind of change in hockey playoffs.
Vegas
a little
is
bit.
Not good.
Is there anything that I should know going to my first ever hockey playoff game, rooting for the Dallas Stars? I want to make that clear. I'm rooting for the Stars tonight. What should I do?
Be loud. You remember that night you went to the Mavs Clippers game 3, I believe, and it was just you had a headache from how loud
it was.
Yeah, I got
up 22-2 and still lost.
Yeah.
That was amazing, and we all had masks on and everything.
The environment should be like that.
Yeah, that'd help.
I'm hoping the environment's not like that. I hope it's not one of those typical Dallas crowds that's like, "All right, we're here now, show us something." But I mean, you deserve that as a Dallas fan, like you or as any fan. You deserve that your team goes out there and does something for you. But you got to be y'all have to be involved tonight for sure. This is interesting, Kevin. None of these, I didn't even realize Miro and Rope are 6-year guys, but no extreme like vets on that list. Like veteran guys.
Because the two that you would have said, or the old guy without a cup theory, which we'll probably get into as the week goes along, that's where Pavelski, you know, thrives, but he didn't make it. So, yeah, Pavelski and Duchesne, both on honorable mention.
That's good. Are all experts picking the Stars like in a quick series?
No. Oh. And by the way, the betting line for this is exceedingly tight. I think the series odds I saw are Stars minus 140 and Vegas 120. There's something to be said, and Broadus was talking about this last week. There's something to be said about playing the defending champions.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of how much your roster has turned over or the struggles you've had, there's just something about you're the defending champions.
Well, and the fact that you lost to them on the way there last year, too.
True.
Like, that's another factor that definitely weighs in on it.
And
will I have a voice tomorrow?
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Is it weird that I kind of hope the answer is no because you went so bananas?
Because they scored 6 goals.
Well, we do have the Cowboys like the press conference tomorrow, so Mike will have a chance to rest his voice a little bit. So,
at the end of the day, they're going to have a press conference.
Tonight's score is 4-3 Stars.
4-3 Stars?
4-3 Stars, unless you get one of those awesome Avalanche Jets games where it's like 7-6, like that. Is that fun? Is that a fun hockey playoff game for you if you're
really
in a
7-6
game?
I really like Ottinger, so I'm going to say no because like it probably didn't go well.
Dude, when I was on the road, that Ottinger, that was pure luck, right?
The diving stick save?
Awesome.
I know, he didn't even dive. He just like,
stuck his paddle
watch
out
this.
There.
See you later, puck.
Got it.
And if it makes any difference to you guys, final power rankings from The Athletic going into the postseason. Vegas, 9. The Dallas Stars?
2.
6.
Number 1.
Oh, Rangers.
6.
No respect for the Rangers, even after winning the World Series.
The New York The New York Rangers in this instance are actually fourth.
By the way, Mike, I did a study. Every time the New York Rangers played and the Texas Rangers played, the Rangers, they were 5-1. They both won out of 10 games. It was 5-1-3 was their, is that right? 9 games? 5-1-3. So there were 3 nights that they didn't play together. 5 times they won. They both won. And 1 time they both lost. Wild, dude, isn't it?
Are you guys jealous?
For real?
Yeah. I'm going to the game.
Oh, definitely. Chris, are you going? You have a star sweater on.
I'm not going. Not going to game 5 if necessary.
Oh, wow.
I'm jealous.
He's already thinking the Stars are going to lose.
They're winning 4-1, baby.
Okay. Gentlemen sweep. He'll be there to watch
like
the closeout.
I like it. Yeah, I'm pumped up. Got a really good text message this morning.
About what?
Dallas Stars. About the Stars game.
Oh, the Stars told you what their score is going
to
be?
No.
Oh, you're going to the
from
game.
From my buddy Dave from Boston. From Boston. Shake it. Shake it.
It's you two particularly together.
What about it?
That causes this.
The ratings boom? Yeah.
We're the yin and
actually,
the yang.
Actually, yes. Probably.
You're the dots. Isn't the yin and the yang?
I'm
like
the dots in the color
or
scheme.
Or maybe we're the dots.
Well, we could be the dots. You're both colors.
Isn't
you're the
that
black
a yin
and the
yang
white.
Thing? Isn't
I,
that
I
the,
think you're adding an extra G to the end of one of those words.
Yin and yang. Ying and yang.
I think that's how you pay for things in certain countries.
Yin yang.
Coming up next.
The yin?
Yin yang.
If game,
how much yin do you have?
If game yang? One, and that's with an E, if game one was the opening of a chess match.
Yin is an alcohol.
Gee, shut up! Do the Mavs now have to drastically rework their strategy?
You should have told the Mavs to shut up yesterday, like halfway through this first
I did.
Quarter.
We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. I actually want to talk about not only that play, but the play after it. That was indicative of how the game went as we're talking about the Mavs. Westbrook gets the alley-oop, and then Lively on the other side gets an opportunity at, not the exact, but a similar play and can't finish it. And that, like, they get it, you don't, similar plays. It felt so indicative of what happened the entire day.
Yeah, the whole day did feel like, we made a three-pointer. We made 2 3-pointers.
Yeah, good for us.
They also made 2 3-pointers. That's what it felt like most of the day.
Quick question, and I get from not being a Mavs fan, like, if you're not a Mavs fan, I'm sure there's plenty of hate for Luka Doncic. We had that conversation. And I'm sure there's plenty of hate for Kyrie Irving over his career from a lot of NBA fans. Who do you hate more, Russell Westbrook or James Harden?
I think I hate James Harden more.
Yeah, it's Harden. It's been Harden for quite some time. I used to really like Westbrook because I always knew he'd, you know, fall apart mentally at some point. But James Harden will do everything it can to draw a foul by sticking his ankle out there to get Maxi Kleber
and get
his three shots. Or he'll, you know, he's really good at getting to the free throw line. And then him being electric from three yesterday did not help that. I've always been like, man, if I had him, I'd be happy, but I don't like having him.
11 points in the first quarter for Harden, including 8 consecutive for his team in the last minute and a half of the quarter, which, God.
Do you think at all he got off to a nice start? Do you think at all Harden making threes to start the game, a three, he made a three at the end of the quarter too. Do you think at all Luka's like, watch this, I'm going to do a step back three too. I thought that. I don't know this. I'm not in Luka's head.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't know if Harden, and Luka I think had 11 points at the end of the first quarter too. It wasn't like the most efficient 11 points, but he did have.
But we still got there.
I think Harden missed one shot and Luka missed 5 shots at the end of one. They both had 11 points. As I thought, in a way, is Harden, I know he's not trying to do this, is Harden baiting Luka into taking horse-ass three-point shots because he's making his three-point shots? So Luka's like, watch, I'm going to take one more difficult and see if it goes in.
And I would argue, yes, but not intentionally, right?
Right.
Like, I don't think James Harden said, oh, I'm going to mess with Luka
right,
like this.
You'd be like, I have to make this three-point shot 5 feet behind the line.
But I definitely see how Luka responds, be like, oh, check this out.
Yeah.
Now, Kyrie,
I hate Westbrook.
He
gives such good effort, but I think in a way,
basketball IQ at times. I know you used to drive you crazy.
He's one of the stupidest players. He's one of the greatest stupidest players in the history of basketball. And what I mean by that is like, there's more stupid people that have played basketball in the NBA, but he's great at it. He's just if he had a good basketball IQ, he would be one of the probably top 25 players of all time. But he's not smart enough to be one of those people. He is going to be a Hall of Famer and all that. That's why I'm putting him in a category of, one, you have to be great, like a Hall of Famer. But out of the Hall of Famers, is there anybody more stupid at basketball than Russell Westbrook?
Is that 4 Hall of Famers? George Harden, Kawhi,
probably all
Westbrook?
4 will make it.
Wow.
Probably the one that's the least likely would be Paul George out of the 4. Like, he would be 4th on the list.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, Kawhi's won 2 MVPs, 2 championships, maybe 3 championships, honestly. And then I don't know. He just drives me insane the way he looks at the crowd and does. But I get it. If he's on your team or whatever, fine.
Now, Kyrie, one of the things he said a while back, and we talked about this going into the series, is a playoff series tends to be a chess match. And he talks about game one. I think it's more or less the beginning of a chess match. If that's the case, what do you think the Mavericks...
Did we just lay our king down to start the game?
Pretty much. And so what would you change about the strategy outside of the fact that I get it, you go 2 for 20 in a quarter, you're screwed.
I thought, one, I'm not for this, but if they're going to play defense the way they did.
Didn't they have like a weak, soft zone going?
Somewhat.
It looked bad.
They were doing a great job of help defense. They were doing a great job. Luka would come off the pick. He'd get the guy on the side, but he wouldn't want to really keep going. He was really trying to get his other teammates involved. I hate saying this because we've talked about it a lot the opposite way. Look, if they want you to score 40 in the first quarter, go ahead and score all 40.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be on step backs. If they're giving you the lane, here's the other thing too is, I don't know if Zubac can keep up how great he played yesterday.
Because if he is, you're going to lose.
I think he had 12 and 10 at halftime. Like, the game was over at halftime.
I'm not kidding. I'm not overreacting to game one. If he can play at this level, you're going to lose this series.
I think so, too. And this is where I'm going. Attack him. If he's going to play drop coverage and they're going to get on your side and he's trying to kind of take away your alley-oop, get into him and draw him into fouls and then make them either play small ball or Mason Plumlee a lot. I'm not saying Plumlee had a good game too off the bench, but none of their players had a bad game. They all had very good games. You played the worst basketball I've seen you play in 3 months. I haven't seen that team play basketball since the All-Star break. That stretch after the All-Star break where you're like, what the crap, dude?
Yeah, and that's when they looked like they didn't care.
Yeah,
still.
You're like
this was they cared. They just got beat. And I do think there are a couple things to take into
Tyronn Lue did say this real quick on the telecast. They were mentioning Tyronn Lue said, don't come into this game and feel it out. You got to come balls to the wall. They mentioned that to start the game. And They did. Yes. And the Mavs tried to feel their way into the game, and by the time they felt themselves, the game was over.
Yeah, and that is there are two things that I really think are going to be different here. One, I just don't see the Mavs shooting that poorly the whole series. Sure. Two, the defensive effort of the Clippers was so, like, everything was contested. But the one thing that I think you can draw from that, when you go back and start looking at your film last night and you start picking up on what they were doing, is by the second half, Luka did have a really good idea of where they were coming from with their help defense, where they were adding the double team from. They make it complicated. They know if we double team Luka or if we man him up from the time he gets the ball on the other end of the court, then it's going to just wear him out just a little bit. They want to make him have to be fried by the end of the night. But he started to see where things were coming from. Even Kyrie in that second quarter, Mike, that you were talking about, where he was just so bad, he didn't help. But he also had moments where he was trying to do it all himself.
Yeah.
Or he was like, I don't know where the open guy is. And I think they'll pick those things up in their process of looking back at it. Now,
I think he was one of six at halftime, Kyrie,
And that's where I think the advantage goes to the Mavericks, is they're going to have the chess match play back at them. And then you see, okay, how will the Clippers respond to that? Will they be able to pick it up by a second half with whatever the Mavericks bring in the first one on this one?
Here's what I do. Terrence Mann's a little sucker. He's an aggressive sucker out on the three-point line. The Mavs have done this before. They don't do it a lot. And this is a very Dirk Nowitzki play. Start him off on the weak side of the ball and have a pick on the opposite block.
That's an interesting idea.
And have him post him up, hopefully anywhere from 5 to 15 feet away. Now, you have to have an entry pass. I think Kyrie's the only player on our team, literally the only guy, who can entry pass the ball to Luka. By the time Maxi Kleba entry passes the ball, he's going to be 25 feet away from the basket, Luka. So it's worthless because he can't pass. So I might go, you know what, Luka, we're going to take a little bit of pressure off of you to get to the basket. And I do think you can still pick and roll and try to put Zubac in those situations. But why not? Maybe one of the adjustments go, hey, you want to put little Terrence Mann on him? We're going to stick Luka 8 feet away from the basket, have his big ass try to get around him. He's not. And then now you have a triple threat situation. You can shoot there. You can dribble there. You can pass from there and see what they want to do. It's not a thing all the time, but then it makes them go. Now, if Kawhi is playing, I don't think he will, but if Kawhi is playing in game two, they might put Kawhi. And that's a bad. Do not do that against Kawhi Leonard.
And correct me if I'm wrong. You think that's because they won game one that Kawhi won't play?
Yeah, I think.
Game two,
and yes. I don't think. Hey, we've seen this before. Remember after he kicked our ass in that, you know, game 6 and 7,
yeah.
Then Kawhi was done. Like, that was it. He's like, my body's done. His body might be done for the season. He played in a weird way. He played enough regular season games for his body to maybe be done, and he might not have another game in him the rest of the playoff run here that hopefully they don't go on. But I do think that it makes it easier for them to give him another day to be like, hey, let's not push this. We got game one. Let's see if we can do it again and get game two and give you a few more days. So I don't know. Is posting up Luka at times, especially if they're going to play 6'4", 205-pound, I'm guessing, on his weight, Terrence Mann on him?
I like that idea. I really do. The importance then, because I know we focus a lot about Luka right there, and we talked about some aspects of Gafford. How important will he be the remainder of the season? Because he was quick to point out. He was like, look, I did not do well in this game.
I'm going to back what you said about Zubac. Zubac plays that way, Mavericks are going to lose this series. If Gafford plays that way, we're going to lose the series. He can't repeat that softness.
Yeah.
And, hey, I don't want to foul Zubac, so just let him have layups for 2 straight minutes. And then when Fart Knocker Man gets the ball, let's just bump into him and send him. Like, what the crap, dude? If you're going to be like a wuss around the basket because you have one foul, consistently be a wuss. Like, I'll take you out of the game and be like, look, if you're scared of picking up your second foul 2 minutes in the game, I'll take you out. But then he stupidly fouled Terrence Mann, but was just letting Zubac have layups. Hey, let the little fart knocker have a layup too, if we're just letting him have layups.
What did you think about that Paul George moment that took him out for what, six, maybe about 8 minutes?
When Paul George got his second foul?
Yeah. Did you Did you think that that was like egregious on his part, or was that, were you just like, no, that's just being physical basketball? Because I thought it was B move. I really did. He like, there's Gafford running down the court, not looking. It looked like a blindside block.
I don't know this, but we saw Russell Westbrook do this too. Unexperienced PJ Washington when it comes to playoff basketball. Hook his arm, hold it a second after the whistle's already blown, and then, you know, get in his face.
I like PJ's response on the other end.
I think there was an intentional intimidation factor the Clippers wanted to put on the Mavs. Harden's not that person. He's not going to be that person.
Right.
But he didn't have to.
But Zubac, yeah. Westbrook, Paul George, Coffey, man, they definitely came out and said, let's see how they respond to us on the attack. And the Mavericks didn't respond at all. Like, it was like a very Dallas Cowboy playoff situation. I don't want this. You guys are trying too hard. You guys want to make this a fight, and we don't want to be in this fight. We want to just run up and down the court and play some pickup basketball. And the Clippers like, no. We're gonna fight and claw. We're gonna take cheap shots. We might undercut you. We might do different things to you. And the Mavs are like, well, if you're gonna do that, we don't want to play.
Yeah, I will say by the end of the game, they leveled up a little bit, but it was too late. Like, it was way too late for anything to change. It was too much of a deficit to get back into. When you're down that many, that's too hard. You're expelling too much energy. But Kevin, that Mike just said right there, that's the biggest thing I have to change. I have to change my attitude going into the next game. I have to change the entire perspective on it. We're going into a jungle tonight, and nobody there is on our side. It's us. So like, that fight that has to come out of somewhere. I know there's a lot of, you know, little technical things that you can do, some coaching changes, some strategy. But the mentality of the team, they have to be the enforcers. They have to be that one. They can't just sit by passively.
I'll be shocked, and I won't use the word Larry Bird used, because you can't use the S word anymore, I don't think.
I
will be
correct.
Shocked if we come out like a bunch of little wussies. I will. This team showed me too much.
From physical aggression?
Yeah, from
or
everything.
Okay.
From everything. We were the biggest wussies in all of the NBA in game one of every game. Like, the Miami Heat, hey, they're undermatched or whatever. They don't have the talent with Jimmy Butler. I didn't see them wussy it up out there. Like,
same thing with the Pelicans.
Yeah.
The Pelicans, I mean, they're without Zion. They stood there and they're like, we might lose, but let's stand in front of you.
I can't believe that group of guys, and it's only one game, I don't think they're going to be a bunch of wussies again. And that's what they were.
I don't either.
Cuss words or bad words that we consider bad words now.
I agree with you. I don't think that they're going to show up that way either. If I'm Jason Kidd, I got to figure out how to push that button, how to get them. And maybe, Kevin, maybe it was the embarrassment of game one is enough to change that whole thing.
And I just, that's okay. From the 469, I just disagree with you. Y'all are dramatic as F. They were rusty from the rest. Okay, so let's examine that for just one second.
Boston hadn't played a meaningful game in 3 months.
And the Clippers, were not rusty from the rest, but the Mavericks were. The Clippers didn't have their best player. I realize you shot 2-for-20 in the second quarter. I get it. So let's examine that for just a second. Let's say you shoot 9-for-20. Fantastic. That's probably going to get you another, let's just say, 17 or 18 points. It was 56-30 at halftime. So even if you shot solidly in the second quarter, you're still getting worked. And I don't think lack of defensive ability on Zubac or getting some of these fouls was just rust. The shooting, I hear you, but not all of it is just rust.
They were crashing the boards even when they missed. It looked like old school. It looked like the Mavs last year and the Mavs the first half of this season, where you're like, dude, like, you got to try for rebounds. They're not just going to come to you.
I think it was two different. I think it was two different mentalities from the coach. If somebody's going to say that Tyronn Lue outcoached Jason Kidd, my perspective, Jason Kidd was, it's a series. It's a 7-game series. We have this time to play all these chess moves and all that stuff. You know, and again, It is. You know what? We could come back after Wednesday or on Wednesday morning and say, all right, it's tied up 1-1, and we feel a lot more comfortable about that. But Tyronn Lue went into this game going, we're going to be the aggressor. We're going to punch first, and we're not going to get caught off guard by anything like that. And I felt like Jason Kidd was, you know, we'll have our rotations and we'll figure it all out as we go.
And then with that in mind, the follow-up.
Does that person, by the way, just want us to read the box score?
By the
Is
way,
that what they would like?
They are not alone, Mike. I will just tell you, here's another text. I don't agree with this.
This is like the small portion to me of the Mavs fan that this is why I don't do Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I don't want to deal with these people. They think everything's perfect no matter
sure.
what. And it's one game. How many times are you guys listening to us today? How many times have we all said we still think the Mavs are going to
yes.
win the series? It's one game. I don't think they're going to be a bunch of wussies in game two. But if you watched that game and you thought, oh, it was just rust, the Mavs played their best basketball?
And this person maybe does from the 214. I don't want to misinterpret. Nah, Kevin, you shoot 9 for 20 in the second, you win the game because you killed them in the second half. I wonder...
This is the same person that thought the Cowboys actually won the Green Bay game. They just ran out of time.
I wonder about the intensity from the Clippers in the second game, but I will tell you this.
In the second half.
This is why I love the quote from Kyrie, because whether you win, whether you lose, it is a great quote. I think of game one as the beginning, more or less, of a chess match. So you might be like, all right, it didn't start how I wanted, but now I have a better feel for how you're going to play, your aggression, your rotation patterns, like all of that stuff that you can use going forward to totally change it up.
Can I give you this quote from Gafford after the game? Like, this is, if you want to say rust, he's not saying it was rust.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel Gafford about Zubac. He threw the first punch tonight and there was no adjustment that was made. At the end of the day, very Stephen Jones of him, I got to be better when it comes to guarding him in the post, guarding him in transition, in any area. In all honesty, I've got to be better. That's great. He's taking responsibility, saying,
yeah, yeah.
I sucked.
I love it.
Yeah, and he's probably going back to his hotel room.
You're just rusty.
He's probably sitting in his hotel room, and he's furious with the way he plays.
Most of us, just so you guys know, don't sleep after games like that.
Yeah.
Whether it's playoffs or regular season, when you get ready for this, this is what you play for in the regular season. And I don't know why the Mavs were shocked by the energy level in the building, by the other team, by the physicality, by the bullying. I don't know why the Cowboys were so shocked by Green Bay actually wanting to win the game really bad. But they were. And there was... Not from Mike Bassick, not from Kevin Hagelin, not from Corey Majors, from Daniel Gafford, your starting center, and there was no adjustment that was made. It wasn't rust. It was them getting hit right in the nose and going, we're bleeding.
Yeah. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 of The Fan. Look, I appreciate the differentiating opinions. I'm just saying I don't agree with some of those that were coming in. Now,
do they agree that nobody on the Mavs are agreeing with their opinion either?
I will have to follow up, but I will tell you, you know, the back and forth of the Twitch, YouTube, and the fan text is now you get a lot of flow the other way. I'm a true Mavs fan. I'm effing frustrated with the Mavs. Bottom line, the Clippers were better yesterday. Goes on and on like that.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, how about some Mike Likes It? Can I just ask you a question about this?
Go for it.
Are you going to put any of your kids on blast in this segment?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But first, I have to start off with Major League history, as I've determined. This is Mike Likes It. This is about me.
Okay.
I had the greatest worst career in Major League Baseball history.
Your thoughts, Corey?
That's an oxymoron.
I know oxymoron.
That can kill you, I think.
What movie is that from, by the way? Do you know?
Made?
No.
So the Detroit Tigers.
Renaissance man. Danny DeVito.
You guys, if you didn't know, I was in Detroit this last week.
I was aware.
Sorry, Mike. We were having a... Yeah.
With the Thank Texas you. Rangers.
It's annoying, isn't it?
So...
Hey, pay attention to me right now.
Davis Wenzel, I believe at one point in his career in Detroit, was 0 for 8. What? And in his 0 for 8, obviously he hadn't got a hit. He also hadn't drawn a walk.
Okay.
And he also hadn't struck out. Oh. So the Detroit Tigers were like, hey, what's the longest streak in Major League Baseball history for not getting a hit, for not getting a walk, and for not striking out to begin their MLB career? And so they get on it and they say, well, this only goes back to 1974, so there could be a longer streak
okay.
in the history, but they can only research it back to that point.
Okay.
So he's putting the ball in play.
Mike Bacsik, the dude sitting in the next door to them, has the longest streak, going 0 for 13 to start his major league career with no hit, no walk, and no strikeout. And I'm like... They're like, did you know that after the game was over? Like, I'm like, no, I had no clue. I've never even thought of it. I didn't even know I started off my career 0 for 13, and I have no clue how I actually broke it. I don't know if I struck out or got a hit. I have 5 hits. I do know I'm 5 for 50 in my career.
Let's go.
But I don't know if it was a strikeout. I think it was a hit. Now, in my second game ever, I did get down a sacrifice squeeze bunt to get an RBI. So in my second game ever, I got an RBI. But that doesn't count as an at-bat. So I actually went 0 for 14, if you want to count that one.
No.
Which I'm tied with. Not many people are going to remember this name. You have to be a hardcore Rangers fan to remember this. But in the early 90s, Dan Peltier started off his career as a first baseman outfielder with the Rangers, going 0 for 13.
I'm going to take your word for that name.
In the history of baseball, I am tied for one of the worst starts as a hitter in the history of baseball, but not a bad start, because I was talking to Tony Beasley the next day and he'd heard this and he goes, I'm impressed you got up to the plate 13 times in your career, not hit. You know, you don't hit much as a pitcher.
You don't strike out. Yeah.
Every fifth day you come up and you never struck out your first 13 times. So is that amazing?
That is
amazing.
In my first ever game as a major leaguer, I got my team down by 12 runs.
Uh-huh.
Horrible.
Worst.
Came back and won the game.
Still won the game.
Tying two of the greatest comebacks in Major League history. Didn't set the record. I'm very good at tying Major League records.
Not setting them. Yeah.
Then, in my only opening day, when they're like, hey, have you ever pitched an opening day? I'm like, yeah, I pitched 2 innings, gave up 9 runs. Horrible! But was on an opening day team. And that's the only time I was on an opening day team. Then, I give up a home run to Barry Bonds, who breaks Hank Aaron's record. And then I find out while I was in Detroit, I hold the record for the most at-bats without getting a hit, a walk, or a strikeout to start a major league career.
That's impressive, man.
I am phenomenal. It's amazing. When I retired, and I didn't retire, when nobody wanted me to play baseball anymore, they said, we have seen enough of you. In 2008, I had the most active innings pitched in the minor leagues, out of all players active in the major leagues and in the minor leagues, nobody had more innings pitched in their career active than Mike Bacsik in 2008 in the minor leagues.
Wow.
I had over 1,500 innings pitched in the minor leagues at
that point.
Just
going out there and doing your job. You know, you're like, I'm just out here to pitch, man.
Yeah, they say it takes about 400 innings to kind of know that you're ready for the major leagues. Mm. I had gone over 1,500 innings, and they're like, you are not ready for this. We've seen it.
Give yourself some more time.
Yeah. Did you sound like a fart? I think that was, what was that? Was that your nose?
I think it's because I was scratching my nose while that happened.
That was a weird noise.
So weird. That's what I think about all of this. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know. We're going to have to repeat that noise.
Crap.
That's going to be played on Friday.
That's going to be here forever.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go back to playoff basketball for a second. Corey, you mentioned it earlier in the show. If I take the Mavericks out, because we all think the Mavs, listen to us, rusty people, we all think the Mavs, yes, played bad basketball. Maybe a hair of rust, but most of it was, we don't want to play basketball today. Maybe they were partying in L.A. But I think the Mavs are going to come back and win that series. I still do. And you two guys have already said that on the show. Are there any other teams in the NBA that are down 0-1 that are going to come back and win their series in the first round?
Ooh.
Orlando. This is Phoenix. Tough. I'm just throwing out teams.
I wonder if Orlando.
I think Orlando, that game, that series, that game was boring. I'm sorry.
A lot of people were picking the Pacers because of the Giannis injury. Do you think the Pacers, after losing game one, will come back and win their series?
I kind of want to say Philadelphia, but I'm not.
Embiid doesn't look right.
He doesn't.
Yeah, I'm going to say Orlando. I think it's got a, it's got the best shot.
All right. Do you have a?
I would say that, but
I'm going to go with Indiana.
I think
because of Giannis.
Yeah, because of Giannis, and I think that was a surprise. What the Clippers did winning maybe not wasn't as surprising. It was just surprising that it was over at halftime.
Yeah.
That was the surprise.
And Carlisle's a pretty good coach. You think he can?
I think so. I think that Indiana can. I think Boston's going to cruise in the East. I think that they're going to probably lose like three games in the playoffs before they get to the finals.
What all the Lakers folks thought about that opening a game against the Nuggets.
And they had a good start. Yeah. Then the third quarter happened.
It's
and
still the same.
Dude, I'm trying to find a silver lining for the Suns. I don't think there is one. I think Anthony Edwards is in the entire Suns team's head right now. That dude, he destroyed Kevin Durant most of that game. It was fun.
Yep. It's funny. He's talking trash. He's like, that's my favorite player of all time. That's my idol. And so it was great to get to play against him in the playoffs and beat him. I just think the Suns, I don't know, Devin Booker, I know he's been in NBA Finals. I know he's had a very good career. He seems to play small in the big. Like, they put that on Tatum. I'm just surprised that Booker doesn't have more of a reputation of, man, can he, man, all over the bed.
They
like,
don't
you
play,
throw the bed out after he craps in it.
They don't play defense either. Like, they don't play team defense by any means.
They don't really play team offense either. And neither did the Mavs.
That is fair.
Okay, Wyatt Langford, last Mike likes it. I know I have 30 seconds here. If I gave you an over-under of 14.5 home runs on the year, is that too low now? If I'm changing it from 29.5 to – if I'm cutting it in half, is that too low of an over-under for Wyatt Langford home runs this year?
I'm still taking the over. I might be a chump for that. I'm still taking the over.
Yeah, you're a chump. I'm going to say – I'm going to take the under. I'm going to take the under for sure. Yeah, 14 home runs is what I'm going to give him.
That's still pretty close to the.
If you had to predict a number right now, he just said 14.
18.
Okay. Do you, if you had to predict rookie of the year?
Not Jackson Holiday.
Would you say Evan Carter?
I think I would. Now I'm going to go Carter 1, Langford 2.
Evan Carter looks like he's getting ready to turn it up, too.
Got a hit against a lefty yesterday.
Dude, that, he looks like he's about to take
crushed
another
it past
step.
The pitcher and beat the pitcher to first base.
Yeah, well, like whatever stuff he was working with
counts
in the offseason.
It does.
He looks like he's like, you know what? I'm feeling more comfortable.
I wonder on ESPN, too, when you make two defensive plays like that. I don't know how many voters are watching the Sunday night game of the week, but that had to be nice to see him as a rookie hit a homer, beat out a ball, and then make two diving plays in the outfield.
Also, did you see the weird stat about Adolis Garcia that I was like, that is amazing.
He's eligible for Rookie of the Year?
No. Oh. He did just play his 500th Major League game. He's one of only five active players who has 100 home runs and 50 steals in their first 500 games. Ronald Acuna.
Ronald Acuna, one of them?
Yes. Would you like to guess at the rest?
Rookie Betts?
Incorrect.
Ricky Henderson.
Mike Trout?
Active players.
Mike Trout.
Incorrect.
Whoa. He had 49 in his second year, right?
That's not 50.
That's in 1 year.
I'll double check on that. Elias says incorrect.
Okay.
Shohei, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Trevor Story go along with Adolis Garcia.
Trevor Story's going to get a lot of money not to play baseball.
That is very true. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Let's talk about Earth and the draft. Ooh. Next on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.